Christ. He is the King. The King of Kings. He is Lord. Lord of Lords. And he is something that no other claimant to deity is. He is alive. Every other claimant to deity has died, or if they have not yet died, they are not far from it. This Jesus, however, rose from the dead. This Jesus lives. This Jesus, whom we call Christ, he is on the very throne of heaven as the majesty on high. Everything is grace pouring forth from the very throne. We have him to thank. We have him to search for. We have him to serve. This is Well-Placed Faith, an hour-long program about life, liberty, and the pursuit of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that you'll stick with us, not only because we want you to stick with us, but because it will be to your benefit. If you are a believing Christian, we hope that this will sharpen you today as we talk about the ascension of Jesus Christ. If you are a non-believer, we hope that you take hold of this opportunity to hear the word, to hear what has been given in the good news of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to have a call-in show. Get your pen, get your paper, get ready to write down the phone number. This is Well-Placed Faith. Crucified, dead, and buried, suffered for us all, and then he rose again, crucified, dead, and buried, suffered for us all, and then he rose again, rose again, crucified, dead, and buried, suffered for us all, and then he rose This is Well-Placed Faith. I am your host, Matt Burton, and with me is Virgil Evans.
Praise the Lord.
That's what we want to do. We want to praise the Lord. We want to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Today, we're going to maybe focus in a little bit more on loving the Lord with all your mind. Maybe some of this is going to be new news. I really don't know. It is our intention to answer questions, especially questions that are put up as hurdles, things that are put up as barriers to helping you believe. Today, we're going to be talking about the ascension of Jesus Christ. We have Ascension Day coming in the very near future. It's a little better than a week away, but ascension, the ascension of Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the King, this one who is the sole right claimant to deity among men. There are no other gods besides the one Christian triune God. That's what I'm going to put across there, because this is a Christian program, a decidedly Christian program. We are there, and we're quite willing to take questions that would suppose something to the otherwise. But if you are a already convinced and convicted Christian, a Christ follower, then please feel free to call in with a question. If you do not yet feel compelled to surrender your life to Jesus, we want to know about those hurdles, and you can bring them to us in the form of a question, and we will try to help you in some fashion. Maybe that sounds presumptuous, but we are entertaining questions all the same. You don't have to be on, quote-unquote, our side to ask questions. So, the phone number here is 816-792-1140. That's 816-792-1140.
or 576-7800.
Say that one more time.
576-7800.
Did you get all that? I hope you did. You got your pen and your paper handy. You can write it down. Feel free to call in. Realize that this is not the only time that you can get a hold of us. There are lots of ways of getting a hold of us. You want to give them your regular shtick?
Yeah, you can look us up on Facebook at Well Placed Faith on Facebook. You can look at our website, wellplacedfaith.com, also wellplacedfaith.org. You can look us up on YouTube. I just recently learned YouTube is the number two search engine on the internet now, behind Google. So, hey, just put in Well-Placed Faith, and you'll find several hours of video teaching there. Some from us even here in the studio. So we invite you to come along with us. And while you're looking at Well-Placed Faith, look up gospelvehicle.net. Yep. That's the Ministry Machine Evangelism Association website. Also, you can find Ministry Machine Evangelistic Association on Facebook and Gospel Vehicle Broadcast associated with us.
Yeah, so we've got several different things to offer, and we hope that you will take us up on some of those offers. I might say that the Ministry Machine is the evangelism leg, perhaps, where Well-Placed Faith is the discipleship leg. But if you take those terms as being too woodenly stated, then you wind up with a couple of wooden legs. No, you just wind up not quite understanding exactly where we're coming from, because in both ministries, we evangelize, in both ministries, we disciple. But that points to one of the things that I want to talk about today. When people talk about the ascension, which is pretty rare, right? It just doesn't seem to come up in conversation. Even among the saints, ascension is not the first thing off of people's tongues. I tend to hold that the ascension is actually the quintessential event in all of history. All right? So somebody's going to say, hey, I thought the cross was the quintessential event in all of history, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Others are going to say, I thought the resurrection was the quintessential event that happened. Because after all, you know, without the resurrection, then the crucifixion was just a crucifixion. And, well, without the crucifixion, you know, we'll come back some other proponent. There wouldn't be a resurrection. Okay, so, again, all of this is kind of one. We like to, in our, what? How would you word it? We like to
our little compartments, you know.
We like a scalpel. Our compartments. Yeah. We like to tear it down and
we like to compartmentalize even our theology, you know, which is literally the study of God.
Right.
Though
theology, that's right.
Systematic theology has deconstructed that, I'll just be honest with you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the idea behind systematic theology ought to be that we're compelled to systematize it because
otherwise.
It
should be the queen of science.
Should be. Has should been be. Called before.
Because it is the study of God. And when you're studying God, His possibilities are infinite. Yet He has made Himself known through instances as the birth, death, burial, resurrection, and...
And ascension. That is exactly right. So lots of things that we could say there rather than getting off on a different tangent or whatever here. What I want to say is that it ought to be viewed as one event, right? The crucifixion, and we like in our systematic theologies, which is to say the opposite of an unsystematic theology is what it should be, but it's been turned into lots of other things. But in our systematizing, we like very much to take, here is the crucifixion. Here is the burial. Here is the resurrection. Here is the appearances. Here is the ascension. Here is the giving of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. And what I want to say is that's all one contiguous arrangement. It is just one thing. I mean, really, if you stop and think about it, we're going to next start talking about what is the most important of the statements from the cross. And people, you can do that. You can take the seven statements from the cross and you can parse that down and say which one is the most important, and you can put some kind of value judgment on, it is finished, that's the one right there, you know, or what have you. Backing off even further, what's the most important part of the crucifixion? Is it when they nailed him to the cross? Is it when they pulled him off of the cross? Is it the point at which he died? Is it the, you know, and you can parse these things down so far that you actually begin to cause just rhetorical problems, really. So, what we want to look at today is ascension. Ascension is the crowning point, literally, the crowning point of...
Well, Matt, what do you mean by ascension? Now, give us the literal meaning of the word first, and then your application.
Okay, so ascension literally is upgoing. Okay, so it is upgoing. And people have mistakenly thought that that meant that Jesus went up into the sky, into the clouds, and there he goes. That is not what we're looking for. Ascension in what it denotates, and there are differences between denotation and connotation, blah, blah, blah. I know, but what it denotates is this upgoing or this uptaking. Connotatively, what it's actually talking about is the ascending or the going up in terms of getting up on the throne. You have many places where you can go and you can see Solomon, who ascended to the throne of Israel. There are the Psalms. What are they? Psalm 130 through 145 or something like that, that are the Psalms of Ascent. I think that's right. I could be mistaken. Please feel free to look into that and correct me. That's fine. But the ascent or the ascension is the taking of the throne. The idea is that perhaps there's something like a stairwell, and you can go upwards literally by rising up the stairs, and then you sit down and you take your seat at the throne as the king over Israel. That kind of a notion, but then borrowed from that picture, then comes the reality where we have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, takes his throne, takes his seat, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and God the Son is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and that is a positional sort of statement that's being made there. Please do not take that in too much of a woodenly literalistic. God does not have a right hand. God is spirit, okay? So you're not going to really be able to get away with terms like right hand, left hand, being sat down. He has no physical, tangible, corporeal, extended body. God, the Father, he is spirit. The Holy Spirit, he is spirit. God, the Son, he has come and taken on humanity. That's the incarnation. And in becoming a man, he now is actually able to, yes, eat fish, speak, visit, touch, be handled, and in his humanity, sit down on a throne, a real throne. All right, so there's some pointing towards what ascension is. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay, all right. By the way, I don't just want to answer Virgil's questions, because he's throwing me the underhand slow lobs into the wheelhouse, okay? He's like, here, knock the skin off of that one, you know, and just lobs it to me. You there, out
but,
there in radio.
But I don't think it's totally unqualified to ask those questions, because
no.
I'm sure some of our listeners are, you know, have heard different things, heard maybe even conflicting reports on what this is teaching, even.
Yes.
You know, and we do want to study out what God's Word said, is not from commentary only.
If I can step in just for a second, the one thing that spares ascension from being wrongly taught is that it is not taught.
Yes, I don't think that ascension in it, within itself is so much wrongly taught, but here in just a moment, we will get into that, because I think there is an aspect to that that I've heard taught wrongly
yes.
a few times.
Yes.
But again, the number here is 816-792-1140 or 576-7800. And on that one, I don't think it matters whether you dial 816 or 913, right, Dave? No, it's just 576-7800 or 816-792-1140. We would like to help you out. I tell you, if we can help you, and it's not just we feel God, you know, leading us to do these things and whatever, but helping God's word is priceless. I believe that, especially in today's world. Folks, if there's anywhere you can turn, it is the Bible. And yes, there are some things that are hard to understand. And no, Matt and I do not have every answer. But we can work with you, point you to Scripture, help. The Bible, it's its own commentary. It's self-reciprocating.
Yeah.
It does, and it produces more of itself. It's the whole thing, and it is about the Bible from leather to leather, or cover to cover. You know, Genesis to the maps, however you want to say it, is Jesus Christ. It's His story. The Bible is telling the story of Jesus Christ, and it's not story. I shouldn't even use that word, but it is the.
It doesn't have to be fiction to be a story. It can be true.
But it is true. We've equated that with fiction. But it is the account of Jesus Christ, the true historical, biblical account of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And what we want to talk about is reality, not make-believe. We want to talk about the shape that reality actually has taken. If Jesus Christ's ascension is not descriptive of reality as it is, then it's nonsense, and we can abandon it and carry on. But it is reality. It does portray reality.
Can we give the folks a glimpse here in Scripture?
We can give them several.
Acts chapter 1, I think, is maybe one of the most... Maybe one of the most widely known portions of Scripture dealing with ascension. Again, Luke wrote the book of Acts. It is a second part. It is just the second letter of the Gospel of Luke.
Yeah.
Acts is a gospel within itself. It is just the... You'll find out why... it is what it's named, the Acts of the Apostles, but you'll find out why it is a gospel as soon as I read these first few verses. Luke says, I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, meaning he wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He had suffered. He also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, at this time are you restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has sent by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the heaven? Then this Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven.
Yeah, buddy. Okay, so there is so much stuff that needs to be said about all of that. One of the first things that I think that I would like to say is there's a huge confusion there with the translations, and all of them, really, for the most part, anyway, about the word Uranos. Uranos. Heaven. Or sky. And this is one of the huge troubles, is that people get the idea that Jesus floated up into the sky. That is not what it says. The very same word that says heaven is the very same word that says sky. So if you just replace the word sky in each of those and think the word heaven, just Uranos, Uranos, Uranos. Each time that it's Uranos, translated exactly the same way. Don't think of it as Jesus going upwards and the soles of his shoes are the only thing that you can see as he's going upwards. That's not right. He is, yes, being taken up, but that's being taken too literally also if you think that he is being lifted up in that sense. You have exaltation is a lifting up. Right? That's what exaltation is a lifting up. You can take up a lament, right? That doesn't mean that you are picking a lament, like you have a wooden lament on the ground and you're going to pick up a wooden lament or something, whatever that is. You have, when you take up a lament, it means that you are engaging it or something along these lines.
Dave, I notice that's the second time 40 days was mentioned.
Oh, man, it's not just the second time 40 days is mentioned. It happens a lot, pretty frequently. 40 days is one of those regularly recurring time frames, and Jesus saw it fit to...
And that just so happens. It's not just by mere coincidence that we're talking about ascension. Because just 1 month ago, today, was Easter.
Yeah.
So we're at 30 days, because April had 30, so we're at 30 days.
Cinco de Mayo days.
Cinco de Mayo is where we're at now. We're at 30 days, so in 10 days from now, during that period, and they are recording times for us so that we know, because all of these have significance. And again, it is no coincidence that we're talking about ascension.
Yeah.
Here, because this is the period before, this is 10 days before today, before the day of ascension, which Jesus was taken up. And I don't want to take away from what Matt is saying here, teaching you. The fact that our translations are like this doesn't negate their...
No.
...their authority.
No.
Nor do we... have every nuance of this figured out. Jesus was with them, then he was not. And, you know, that is the main thing. I don't think you're completely off base, Matt, and I'm sure Matt, he's wanting to, be technical with you, but I don't think you're completely off base if you have this mental picture, if you need that, say that Jesus raised, into the clouds, or...
Right. What I want heavens. To say...
It says heaven, but it is always heavens. There's a plurality of the sky, and it is... From Genesis, we realize that there's something, and again, we can use Genesis in creation, because here is the creator... Mm-hmm. Of this thing ascending back to his place. So where is it that he was before there was anything?
Yeah.
Right. So it is. It's mind-boggling. And yet Jesus was taken. And many of these words are put here so that our finite minds can have something to grasp onto.
Yeah.
And yes, you should study into this. Yes, you should... look at the nuances of language and things how it was meant in the context that is written in. I don't want you to say that, we say you're a heretic if you're in your mind you picture this. I have no trouble with it myself. Matt's worked it out a little better in his mind. Yeah. I may be behind him on that. But I understand what he is saying here. But the thing of it is that Jesus is going into where he came from.
Yeah.
where he had left. Yes. He descended. Now,
that's right.
You know, that's where I want to go here in just a minute, is the descension.
Yeah.
But, which is something that's been taken out of context so many times.
Horribly. Yeah.
Horribly. So, another reason why I want to agree with Matt, because in the context that this is where it's at. His descension is just something that, his being here was something that is unparalleled.
Yeah, yeah.
Even unthinkable, as in deity, concerning a deity. Coming low.
Yeah.
All of these other people, you know, prophets, what have you, all these other religions, they don't include this. They're not.
No.
They don't include their God coming low and being like, making himself vulnerable.
Right. Other claimants to deity, by way of the stories, this time fictional, they're too tough. They're too macho. They're too strong. They're too whatever it takes to condescend, right? Meet us where we are, make themselves low, and come to where the need is. Only the triune God has taken on vulnerability, has taken on weakness, has taken on pain, has taken on suffering, has taken on rejection, has taken on being denied and betrayed, and only the Christian God gives any sort of scope to these things.
That is exactly why the writer here, Luke, who is a very efficient, very capable writer, we know by his writing style that he was a learned man. He had an education. He was a doctor, a physician, and he also was a very adequate writer in his capabilities. Oh, and so, as he reiterates here for us, Theophilus, this is the second letter. Or this is the second part of the letter, and he gives it again, that this Jesus who suffered and presented himself alive, now he appearing to them for 40 days. Now we're on the 40th day. He has ascended. He has went back to his place. He is been lifted up. I mean, he is high and exalted now.
Yes, yes.
Literally high and exalted.
Yes.
So we're placing that. This is, folks, this is what separates Jesus from all other religions, from all other gods, lowercase g.
Yeah.
This is what separates them. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak.
Right. What I want to guard against is having some kind of a deist God who went away. That's what I want to guard against. I don't want us to get this idea that Jesus supermanned it out of the atmosphere, and there he goes, and now he's gone. That is not the case. It would be much more appropriate to say that he went from being visible to being invisible. Doesn't mean that he is not there, having just the Matthew version, Matthew, at the end of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, he tells them, just before he ascends, I am with you always. That's one of the points that I want to make there. Is not, you know, if it helps you to see Jesus float, okay. I don't want to call people heretics because they are looking at it and saying, well, it sounds like God, or Jesus went upwards. Okay, but the larger point is a point of authority. All authority, again, I'm borrowing from Matthew now in his picture of the ascension, just before the ascension. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. That is an uprising right there.
And the issue is placement here. And
we're talking about authority.
Yes.
That is the issue. He is taking the throne. The whole picture comes back to the Genesis event where God, when he is creating man in his own counsel, in his own decision, points to the man, as he's talking to himself, we're in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. When he says this, he says, let them rule. Right? He makes man to rule over the earth. That's why he makes man, to rule over the earth. He's ruling for God. He's going to rule over the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the serpents, the everything, the creepy crawly things, the fish, the everything. He's going to rule over the earth. And when he subjects himself to a critter, a created thing, yeah, he stands the whole created order on its head. Now, creation is at the top because it's been obeyed. Eve has been obeyed. So you got Adam is now subject to Eve, which it was intended from the beginning to be otherwise. That is not to speak in terms of subjugation about women. Okay, that is not what that's about. But then God's on the bottom of the list because you can be like God. So Adam takes that upon himself and ruins the whole thing. Now, Jesus is ascending to the throne. That is to say, he is taking the rightful place as a man, as Adam the second time. The second Adam, he is taking his place as the Lord over everything.
And I think the significance of them staring into the heavens, I mean, that folks, literally, I don't care if you want to speak scientifically, that is the only point of reference that we would have as far as, you know, mm-hmm, our finiteness trying to, you know, a physical explanation, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is, you know, the staring, because as clean back to Genesis again, when God made the heavens and the earth, and he separated the waters from the waters, yep, and had the atmosphere, and then beyond that, we know that, you know, it's the outer space, just, you know, we have a sky, we have outer space, but there is beyond that because God made all those things. Mm-hmm. We don't know about what's beyond that.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's infinity. That's infinitive. There is no boundaries to that, and yet we can't comprehend it. But that is where but it is a place because he is a man who has been raised. Luke made sure of that. As a physical doctor, he is the one who suffered, presented himself alive.
Yeah.
Here, you know, as we said at the starting the show, as Matt said, he was hungry, he ate,
you could touch him.
You could touch him.
Yeah.
He was tangible.
Yeah.
And yet he is in this place now. He is in the other place. So, yes, it would be appropriate for them and for Luke to record. They were standing there looking up in amazement. You know, yeah, this is supernatural. Jesus did not stay in the natural.
Yeah.
His natural body did not stay in the natural. That's hard to comprehend.
Yeah. Because I would say that he is just as physical and just,
yes,
as tangible and just as corporeal. But you're not going to be able to apprehend him with anything other than the soul and the mind and the heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe. So, okay, here's the ascension. Jesus, and the whole point of this is that there is a... Now, Jesus is God. You are not hearing me say anything otherwise. Jesus is deity, okay? But there is a man. There is a human being who actually has been faithful. You will not find a man anywhere who, and I'm not saying merely males. Women are guilty of the same things that men are, just in different ways. You will not find a human being who is faithful to God apart from Jesus Christ. You will find some that do a better job of not doing certain things or doing certain things or what have you. But in terms of ultimate faithfulness, Jesus alone is the only one who has ever accomplished pure fidelity in faithfulness all the way around. And now this human being who was ultimately faithful, who was obedient unto death, is given the throne and the crown of being the human being par excellence, the ruler, the King of,
yes,
kings. And when we talk about, it's so often mentioned that we just zoom right past it. When you say Jesus Christ, you are saying that he is the ascended one on the throne. It means he's king. He's the Messiah.
The Messiah,
he,
yes,
is the ruler of the world. That's what Messiah means. When you've got when you talk about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. The remainder of them, they refer to as the kingdom of God. But when you talk about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, you're talking about the king and the arena that he has dominion over. The dominion of the king of heaven. The dominion of the king that from of, not over God, but of, genitive, the kingdom of God. It's God's kingdom. And it's in the person of Jesus that we see the king of the kingdom.
Adam was the... is our progenitor, physically speaking.
Yes.
Him and Eve were the first two people.
Right.
We all come from them.
So they were at the quote-unquote top.
Yes. We have descended from them.
Right.
We are descendants.
Descendants. That's exactly right.
Now comes along this one who... is God, who is ascended.
He's now at the top.
He is at the top. Coming through this same creation, now he is the progenitor.
Yes.
Of our spiritual, our eternal being, our who we are.
Yes.
Hebrew, you could bring it out really, if you understood Hebrew, I could bring it right out to you. It's your existence. It's your being.
Yes.
You know, to be's be.
Yes.
Yes. You know, to put it in simple Hebrew there, to be's be. Yes. Yeah. They, you know. But yes, here is this progenitor who is supernatural.
Yes.
Who has taken on the natural, but now is supernatural. And progenerate is the progenitor of the spirit.
Yes.
Our likeness, and yet we will be like him at some point. If he,
yes.
If we die before he comes, before I heard one of the great Greek professors say the great switcheroo.
Oh man, yeah, there's a theological term for you.
and which he brought it down to where we could understand it before the great eye size, you know, the big switcheroo, meaning before he installs his. Fully installs, completely
consummately,
installs,
right.
Consummately installs his kingdom on this earth and eradicates evil, and everything will be perfect.
Yeah.
This time for good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is the one, again, who he's not making more people, yet he is redeeming them by ascending them, or, if you will, if he's taking them with him in his ascension.
That's what Ephesians begins with. It talks about how we have been taken
and that's
up.
Where I wanted to go to before we get out
look
here.
Look at how you do that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, man, there's a million, billion, trillion, jillion more things to be talked
and
about.
And we have a couple more shows around this, too.
So. We may have to have three or four.
But, again, here's this... he has taken us with him, those who are his. Those who are his. He has taken you with him. That's what it means, folks. When we talk about receive Jesus, let him become the... install the kingdom of heaven in your life.
Yes.
Yes, in your physical life. Yes, in your spiritual life. Yes, in your mental life. That's when he sets up camp. He sets up camp. And yes, it heaven comes low in this earth. But one day you will experience the completeness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's preparing you for. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. When he's established in your heart today, and it may be just putting the flag in the earth today for you.
Yeah.
But that is established. You are his.
Yes.
And he has established the kingdom in your heart.
All right. Are you sure we have to go to Ephesians? Because right here in the book of Acts.
We don't have to.
All right. Okay. So just,
Ephesians,
I don't know how.
Next show.
Okay. I don't know how real quick this is going to be. But there in the book of Acts where we just read from, what is it that he says? He says, when they are gathered together, okay, and he is getting ready to do his ascension, where he's going to enter into heaven, they say, he says to them, he gathers them together, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you've heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking, Lord, are you at this time restoring the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom to Israel? Okay, so he says to them, not for you to know, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses. Now, what does this portend to? In a single word, Virgil, in a single word, how would you say this? You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. You can go to the end of the book of Matthew where he says the same thing, but he says it only mildly different. How would you put this into one word? He says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In a single word, what is that project?
I'm going to say the good news, but...
That's two words, yes.
And
evangelism.
That's two words, yes.
Evangelism. When was the last time that you heard evangelism spoken of in terms of the ascension? But will you please take note that that's precisely
evangelism, yes, is
evangelism
the word.
Is precisely the truck that is, or
the gospel vehicle.
The gospel vehicle, right. And what are we doing? We're planting that flag, like you said. I claim this land for the king. I have landed my ship here, and I claim this land. I'm going out from Jerusalem, from Judea, from Samaria, into the remotest, outermost parts of the earth, and I am claiming for the king, and we're going to take over the world. That's what this is. But will you please notice that this taking over of the world is born on the shoulders of love and mercy and grace and hope? And when we evangelize, what we are doing is saying there are two kingdoms in this world. One is where there is lying and stealing and murdering and the disregard of who Christ is, and there is advantage taking, and there is violation, and there is, that's the world that we live in. The world where you, listener, are tempted to go along to get along. But you are being invited now by the mercies of King Jesus to join the kingdom where it is honesty, and it is virtue, and it is value, and it is strength beyond strength, because death has been denuded. And when you stand up to the authorities and you say the things that are not supposed to be said, but they're true, it's okay, because what are they going to do, kill you?
And to get this, as Matt said, this is honest and true. And no, it's not of your own accord. It's been imparted to you.
Yes. Remember, the ascension is also there to say you will be endued with the Holy Spirit.
Because it is a gospel of peace. It is a gospel of love. Yet on the same, in that same thought, the other the bad news is that everything is wrong and it's going to be eradicated.
Yeah, it's going
to
be dealt with.
And if you choose to be part of that,
yes,
you will face, you know, certain judgment for sure.
Yeah, you'll be separated over into the it's called the abyss, or even hell. You'll be put off over into the arena where death and lying and violation and pain rules. If you will not receive the kingdom of blessing, peace, grace, mercy, joy, love, if you will not receive it through Jesus Christ, the one and the only avenue, then the only other option you've left for yourself is to be put over in this other camp.
And if you, and again, what we're offering you is truth.
Yes.
And it's been proven time and time and time again. No, it's not just an intellectual thing. Yet you cannot prove this Bible wrong. It's been tried time and over, you know, thousands of years now.
Yeah.
So here is truth. Look at all the holes in all these other philosophies, all these other religions, and so much of it. Even look at all the holes in not believing in anything, as in atheism. Not believing God. Look at all the holes in that.
You know, the problem with not believing the truth of Jesus Christ is not that you won't believe anything. The problem is that you will believe anything. You'll fall for the most foolish things, of which I will accuse people who are part of these other religions of taking part in some pretty ridiculous things. Now, you're not hearing me say everything about every other religion is all ridiculous and, for that matter, even all wrong altogether. What I'm saying is there are going to be things, of course, otherwise people wouldn't be attracted to them at all, you know? But there are some pretty ridiculous things that wind up working their way into these other
and
false systems.
And I know that, you know, with our show on Ascension, we weren't necessarily trying to point out other
That's not the point. That's just
other religions or whatever. But that's what it's come to, and that's where we draw the line. You know, this is the truth. This is the Jesus that we're talking about.
Yeah,
he is the one who has ascended, you know, to his Father. He is the one on the throne right now. He's the one that caused this. It's not something that can be postulated. By saying that, I mean something that you can imagine, that something that's made up, you know, because that's how these other things, other belief systems start. It's something that somebody has thought up, and there's really no proof behind it.
And God will not be mocked.
He will not be mocked.
God will not be mocked. And this is precisely one of the reasons why we want to get this broadcast out into the heart of the United States, is because we'd like to see concentric circles just go out from here through the Holy Spirit, who does things out of nowhere, you know, basically. We'd love to see him move, because I'm convinced, you don't have to be much of a prophet to know, if the United States as a nation does not surrender itself to the kingship of Jesus Christ, it is going to suffer horribly. The fruit that grows from the tree, that grows from the seeds, are only going to lead to destruction. We cannot go on. There are certain prophets among us who have spoken these things, and I use that word rather liberally at the moment. You know, Ron Paul, for instance, has been demonstrated to be quite right in saying if we continue with these kinds of robbery, unfair, imbalanced weights and measures in our dollar system, if we continue to go the way of greed and of, you know, on down the line, well, what's the product going to be? If I plant this kind of a seed, then that's the kind of plant that's going to come up. And we can just expect to have those things come out of it. The Ascension, a real quick story. One day I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I see this gal book it around the corner after this guy. The guy takes off running. And he's running away from this lady. And this lady, as she's running after him, I'm like, well, something's wrong here. What's going on? So I real quick, I yell at the lady, hey, what are you doing? Why are you chasing that guy? Because I'm going to go chase this guy down. I'm pretty fast, you know. So I'm going to chase this guy down. I'm going to take him down because he's done something wrong. And she looks at me, and I mean, okay, look, I'm just telling you, something's wrong. I can tell something's wrong, spidey senses, whatever, something's wrong. Why are you chasing that guy? I'm expecting to hear her say something like, he stole from me or something. He is running away from her, is what I thought, but she says, I'm not chasing him. What in the world? So I'm left to scratch my head. Clearly, he took off running because of this one. What in the world? And then it occurs to me, she's in on it. Whatever it is that he did, she did. And so now he knows, run. And she's running. And so they're both running away. And so I turn around and I go after the both of them. The police come squealing in there and they're chasing after him. I don't need to chase them anymore, you know. And I'm aware of all of the bad things that are labeled onto police officers. But please, injustice needs somebody to approach injustice. Well, as it turns out, they had been part of a robbery together. And they were trying to make off with the loot. They thought that they were found out. As it turns out, they were found out. So they're running away. The point of all of this is, in my mind, I was thinking, there's two people that have no idea that Jesus has ascended, that Jesus is their king, that Jesus is their Lord, that he has the authority to tell them what to do and what not to do. Here are two people who have decided to try to go at life their own way, and they desperately need the gospel, and now they've got handcuffs. I hope they've got time to think things through. I didn't get an opportunity to evangelize either one of them. But these are the things that happen when you don't realize that the ascended king has rule and reign over you. You do ungodly things.
Yes, and I want you to know, as we're closing coming close to the end of our program, that this Jesus that we talked about, who's ascended on high, you don't need an intercessor between you and him.
Nope.
He is the intercessor.
That's right.
Between you and his Father, you and God.
Read
and
the book of Hebrews.
He is God. Again, his coming low, his descending, which we'll get into next time. I'll make sure of that. But his being human, you know, brought him to our level, and so to speak, down there. You don't need someone else. Yes, it is great. Once you have allowed him to become your king, then you just find, you know, joy in fellowshipping, finding similar things. That's what fellowshipping means, finding similar thoughts, similar feelings, similar experience with those around you who have done the same as you have. And again, that's not to say it's great to go to church and to fellowship and all that, mm-hmm. but that's not the end all, is going to church. You just going to church is not the end all. That's not your salvation.
Right.
And it's come up just in the past week amongst some of the Christian, well-known Christian leaders, said church is about worship. It's not a worship before missions. And I'm here to tell you, we are created to worship. But how else can you worship God than, you know, I mean, what better way than to tell others about him? I
mission
mean, that
is
your
worship.
Yeah, to worship God. You don't just, I can't really think of anything right now that you would want to worship, you would be excited about, even just be not without worshiping, be excited about, and not want to tell someone. Mm. That is, you know, and in that is worship. That's
declaring worth.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the all-encompassing ideal. And so you don't have to be in any certain place. Yes, you may want, you should join in with other believers,
mm-hmm.
the body of believers. Because now you've came into what Paul goes on to say is one big body.
Yeah.
You're fitted, I've used the example of Lego blocks. Now you're a Lego block. You can be something in something much greater than you are, and there's just a bunch of other somethings there.
Synergy.
And it makes a synergy, yes. So today, I want you to take a moment to think about this king, this one. If he did ascend, if he did come and die and was resurrected, come back alive, as Luke said, and if he is ascended back to his Father, why not choose him today? Why not?
Yeah, there is no recourse but to surrender yourself. And if you don't, then there will be a judgment. And you're going to have to stand and say, I heard the news. It was told to me plainly. And I opted against it. Please don't go that route. Instead, if there's something that's bringing you to a full stop, I can't quite commit myself to it, please call us, get a hold of us, let us know, let us help you in trying to deal with some of these hurdles and doubts. Take Jesus Christ to yourself. Take his yoke upon you. He is the king.
And if you would like assistance in getting this message out, folks, I've talked to two pastors just this past week, you know, one out in Kansas, one here in downtown Kansas City, you know, and these are no small things. These are men who have sensed the urgency to help. It's time to get this message out. It's always been time.
Yeah.
But the urgency has grown more, and I'm seeing that more and more all the time. It is time, folks. Don't delay. We are, as Jesus said, you don't know. And here in Acts chapter 1, you don't know the appointed times that have been set. Only the Father knows. He knows the times and periods. You're racing against clocks. Your biological clock, the world's clock, make that decision today. Decide to follow Jesus. He is the ascended one. He will take you to heights you've never known.
Amen. Crucified.